Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness broadcast. We're coming to you today from my office here in Branson, Missouri. So many things happening revolving around Israel, that promised land of God to the Jews, that promised land that He said He would gather them home to, and that would be a sign to the nations that He is the real God. Some really disturbing things, and one of the things that really disturbs me the most is that an announcement was made that William Burns, America's third highest ranking diplomat in the State Department, will attend talks with the Iranian envoy, Saeed Jalili, in Switzerland on Saturday, aimed at persuading Iran to halt activities that could lead to the development of atomic weapons. Now, Mr. Burns is a member of the State Department. I believe that most of our troubles and the mistakes that we make regarding Israel can be laid right back at the door of the State Department. I've been watching Mr. Burns for a long time. I've been praying, actually, against not him, but some of the decisions and some of the things he said and his work on the roadmap. And I'm very unhappy with the way Mr. Burns represents our government to the nation of Israel. He will meet with him. And I watched. Now, I'll just read a little bit more about this, and then I'll tell you some other of my thoughts on it. That was from the Jerusalem Post. Here's from the Defqa file. The announcement that U.S. Undersecretary of State William Burns will join the European Union's Javier Solano holds with the Iranian nuclear negotiation in Geneva this week makes official the secret diplomatic track afoot between Washington and Tehran, which was first disclosed by the Defqa file on June 27. Our U.S. sources, I'm reading from Defqa file, confirm that this step distances the Bush administration still further from Israel's policy position, which calls for the curtailment of Iran's drive for a nuclear bomb by all means, including military action. Now, listen to this quote. It's interesting. Sad. It leaves Jerusalem alone in the arena against Iran on the nuclear and other security issues such as Hezbollah, Syria, and the radicalized Lebanese government. This morning, just before I came here to do this broadcast, I watched Fox News, and they interviewed former UN Ambassador John Bolton to see what he thought about these talks between the U.S. State Department under the heading of the European Union with Iran. And he said it's terrible. It reflects a concession and a collapse of the administration's view for 5 years, for many years. He pointed out that there had been 5 years of failed efforts to negotiate with Iran by the Europeans. And that by our going in there, we put a sort of a stamp of approval on all this negotiation, which has gotten nowhere. And the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, told state TV on Monday that he will not accept any conditions on his country's disputed nuclear program during talks with EU officials this weekend. He won't accept it. So we're going over there in the face of his saying, I will not accept it. Major world powers have offered Iran a package of incentives in exchange for a halt to Iran's uranium enrichment, a process that can be used to generate electricity or to make nuclear weapons. Ahmadinejad told state television Monday he rejects that condition. He said Saturday's talks will focus on common points instead, and he refuses to change his position. In fact, he has said this week that he will chop off the hands of Israel if they even think to put a finger on any kind of a weapon toward him. As you know, they have tested many missiles, missiles that will reach Israel and can carry nuclear warheads. And so, our former UN Ambassador John Bolton said of this meeting, "The best we can hope for is that nothing comes from it." Another exercise in futility. Another thing that is distressing is the IDF post the swap of military prisoners of Hamas and Hezbollah, actually Hezbollah guerrilla warriors who have murdered children. They are terrorists. And they have exchanged, Israel has exchanged them for the bodies of dead, kidnapped Israeli soldiers. I'm going to read you a few things and then make some comments. This is from the Jerusalem Post. I'll read that last because it says what they expect to happen from this. With the prisoner exchange with Hezbollah approaching its tragic climax, dozens of news crews are there to watch it. They are about to release child murderer Samir Kuntar and four of his co-terrorists. And bless the Lord, Hezbollah, they finally made the delivery, delivered the remains of Eldad Regev and Ehud Gowasser, whose kidnap triggered the 2006 Lebanon War. They returned them in exchange for five live prisoners and bodies of dead Hezbollah soldiers, five live prisoners, including Samir Kuntar, the Nahariya murderer. Hezbollah delayed informing Israel whether the two soldiers were alive or dead for 2 years up until the Wednesday handover. And I have been reading about this, and I found that the families of those soldiers, this was their first, when they saw their caskets, that was the first they knew that their sons were dead. One of the aunts of one of the dead soldiers fainted when she saw it. And so they didn't tell Israel whether they kidnapped these soldiers. They didn't tell them if they were dead or alive. And then they presented them at the handover dead. And they gave out Gaza children threw candy in the street. And massive rallies geared up in Lebanon and Israel to celebrate, in Israel too, in the hostile villages, to celebrate the release of murderer Samir Kuntar and the other terrorists. Arab leaders and terrorist groups around the Middle East are expressing their joy over what to them is a resounding victory over Israel and a lesson that kidnapping IDF soldiers works. I'm reading from Arutz Sheva. Gaza terrorists openly expressed what many in Israel already fear. Kidnapping IDF soldiers has become the most effective way to release terrorists with blood on their hands. Abbas, who's supposed to be, the moderate leader of the Palestinians, congratulated the family of Samir Kuntar, the murderer who was released. He congratulated them on his release Wednesday and sent his condolences to the Lebanese family who are receiving bodies of their dead loved ones. Hamas terrorist leader and Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh congratulated Samir Kuntar on his impending release from Israel's prison and his triumphant return to Lebanon. The Hamas leader praised, quote, "the great victory the resistance has had, which proved the righteousness of our ways," end quote. And he said his own terrorist organization would likewise remain loyal to its operatives jailed in Israel as well, suggesting that Hamas has been encouraged by the release to kidnap more soldiers. The IDF heard that. IDF is the Israeli Defense Forces. And there's an article in the Jerusalem Post by Yaakov Katz. The IDF was on heightened alert Tuesday along the northern border ahead of Wednesday's prisoner swap with Hezbollah. "There is a feeling," one officer said, that we are on the verge of a collision with Hezbollah. They are continuing to smuggle weapons from Syria and to bring up positions in southern Lebanon. I also read a report, and I didn't take time to read it to you, that they have been reporting on some Islamic Republic news agencies that they are ready to mount chemical on their warheads. And so there is a feeling in the Middle East that things could heat up into one kind of a war or another. I'm getting ready to leave right now for Washington, D.C. and Christians United for Israel. Christians from all over the United States and others always join us from around the world. This is our third annual Washington Summit. We have appointments with our senators and with our representatives in which we say we are Christians United for Israel. We are based upon the scripture which says, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. This is chapter 12 and verse 3 of the book of Genesis. Now, we are Christians United. There'll be many, many, many of us. We're not all united in our doctrines. But I love that word, Christians United for Israel. We're not even united, all of us, in our doctrines concerning Israel and concerning the Jews. But we are united in that God brought them home. He promised them the land. There will be a judgment on those nations who go against God's plan. And we do not want the beloved United States of America to know a judgment. I'm going to be talking all week on my radio broadcast about the subject of why we are in Washington, D.C., and about how nations, as nations, will be judged on how they treat the nation of Israel. I have to add feet to my faith because I believe very much what I'm going to be talking to you about this week. I believe very much that we must stand up. Actually, we know that the nation of Israel will be around during the millennium. But will there be a nation of the United States of America? Hallelujah, I'm part of the body of Christ, and I know the future that the body of Christ has. But I want bragging rights. I want that nation where I was stationed, the United States of America, to be a sheep nation. That's why I'm adding feet to my faith and going to Washington, D.C. next week. You'll be hearing this on Monday. You could still be a part of us if you live near the Washington, D.C. area. Just go to CUFI, or you could phone in, and you can come with us and go to your senator and your representative. We go right into their offices. We have some talking points. We'll have three talking points, which will be decided just at the last moment as we get there. We'll hear from top officials. Listen this week. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom. And remember to pray that our nation will honor God's plan for Israel.